Hello,
Blog
is
Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's Stephen Bello here on Blog Talk Radio, Bozilla, if you will. I'm waiting for someone to come in that we had who was a person that was in the pipeline. So, and his, I would say, caregiver. Hopefully they come in. I'm waiting for them to call. I'm waiting for them to buzz in so I can bring them in. If not, I'll continue on with my show tonight. I'm just waiting to hear them beep in, and they can come on in. So let's say, what has been going on for the day for everybody? First thing I want to run across is the one thing that I posted on my Facebook account about the young man that was put into prison at the age of 14 or 15. At this time, he's 32. But he was in prison all that time for something that there was no body. There was no rape. There was no kingpin status on drug trafficking or anything. There was nobody hurt. So my thing is this. How do you put a young man, a minority young man, in prison for something that never even happened? He got three life sentences, plus a hundred and some years after added on to that. So you tell me, he has to die three times and come back and die one or two more times to finish the sentence. So my thing is, how is that possible in the world today that someone can send a child to prison when there was no evidence of nothing that he did? There was no semen, there was no blood, there was nothing that said that this young man did that. The only thing he said, he was there when it happened, he was playing video games. The people that were the mother and daughter that was in the house that it happened at said he wasn't even there at the time when all that went down. So how can you go back and sentence this man, now a man that was a child when it all happened, to prison? That's my whole topic about the pipeline. He was thrown in the pipeline and forgotten. So you tell me that a man, and now he's a man, that's in prison, had to go to prison for something that he did not do. There's so many minorities, Caucasians, people, period. Like I said before, this is not a black and white thing. It's a child thing. You put people in prison and you just throw them in, took a juvenile and throw him in with the dogs, and you try to raise this kid in a prison setting. He is not mentally ready for that. Here's no possible way that a 16-year-old or 17-year-old can go to a prison with grown men to say, hey, here I am. Don't touch me because I'm a child. You can't do that. There's no damn rules in prison. So you know he's going to be stalked, and that doesn't make any sense. You put a young man in prison for something that he did not do. But my thing is this, guys, why even do that? What makes it worthwhile to put a young man in prison that there was no evidence for? And you didn't want to give him a retrial? You didn't give him enough chance to file an appeal and all that type of stuff? So come on now. And most likely, his parents didn't have the money to find a good attorney because the public pretender that he probably had dropped the ball. And yes, I said public pretender, because those who went to prison know about public pretenders. Thank God I had family who got me an attorney, which wasn't anything. I had to get another attorney to get me out early. So my whole thing was, when I had my other attorney, Dennis Gump, I would say he looked at my whole case. He saw everything. He said, why would you even plead guilty to that? I said, because it was my first time ever being in trouble, and I was scared, and I was grown. So you know what the mental mentality for somebody that is a juvenile that goes behind them walls and sitting right there in front of the detectives, and you know the detectives are breathing all down their neck, and it's hot in there. They don't give them nothing to drink or nothing to eat. They push them, push them, push them, so they finally admit that, yeah, I did it. So they say, you admit that you did, you can go home. And you know, that's 9 times out of 10 is what they tell them, that you say you did it, and you can go home. And once you say you did it, they got you. And you did that in front of without an attorney present or your parents present. So then you sign it, and then your signature is bond. It's over. So that's why I tell people who have children, you do not talk to the police unless your parents are there or you have an adult there. That's sort of like an adult brother, adult sister, an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, a grandfather, somebody who can stick up for you when you talk to the police, talk to a prosecutor, talk to anybody, because they will say anything they want to you because they're going to try to scare you. And that's 9 times out of 10 what happened to that young man. He was sentenced because he got scared. He took the deal for something that he thought he could do something better. But, you know, if they give you a deal, you know, at one time they'll say, we'll give you this deal. And you get scared. Okay, that's going to be the best bet I can get because I'm looking at this many years in prison. And you don't take the deal, then they come back and slam the door on you. The young man, I want to say his name, but you have to go on my Facebook page and see his name. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you do belong to Facebook, look me up, Stephen Bobo, StevenBobo. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Gary Sharp Periscope. My thing is this, guys, please check it out. I have even started a little thing that you guys can sign, and it will be able to send it to people in higher ups. I'm talking about people in Congress, people, athletes. I send it to LeBron James. I send it to everybody who's in L.A. because it happened in California. So you know how crooked California is. I'm sorry, all you California people. I apologize for that. But we all know how crooked California is. And I'm an Oakland Raider fan, and it hurts me because I see so much corruption that happens in California. There's corruption in every state in this country. But you know for a fact there's tons of corruption in California. And that right there seals the deal because I was so upset behind what I got. Somebody sent me the whole line because I have a page that I do called Prison Pipeline, where I talked about how kids are in school and they get stuck in the pipeline and takes you right to prison. I am trying to do now is try to damage the pipeline so these kids don't have to go to prison or help them that are in prison. Because for the simple fact is, these kids need our help. These kids need our love. These kids could be anybody. That young man could have been my son. That could have been your son. That could have been your cousin. That could have been your brother. That could have been anybody. And for anybody who's older, listen to this call, could be your grandson. He needs help because, listen, sometimes parents just get tired. And I know his mother's tired. Can you understand how she feels that her son, and she knows for a fact he didn't do it. So many people came back and told her that he did not do it, but yet he's still in prison for all these years for something he did not do. This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. People need to understand that this is real talk. This is real life. This is not motion pictures. This is it. This is real life. This is happening right now to this young man. So you people need to really realize that this can happen to any one of us. It can happen to our child. Like I said, it can happen to your nephew. It can happen to your cousin. It can happen to your brother or your sister. It doesn't even have to be a male. It could be a sister. It could be a girl. It doesn't have to be a male. And once again, it doesn't have to be black. It doesn't have to be white. It can be any race. Like I said, it's a child thing, not a race thing. And people need to realize that when I talk, I'm talking from the heart because I'm somebody who went to prison, was a corrections officer, was never in the pipeline, but I have friends that was in the pipeline. I could have been in the pipeline. Thank God I had a good stepfather that stepped in and helped me out my way, even though I didn't respect him because he wasn't my daddy, and my daddy was never around, but that's a whole other story. But once again, he did his job as a stepfather, and I'm talking to men now. Men who are listening to this, if you have a child, step up and be a man. Take care of your child. No matter if you and the mother don't get along, me and my baby's mother, my wife, we have our problems. We're no longer together at this point in time. But you know what? I still respect her as my mother, as my baby child's mother. And I respect that. And I have her back 100% when it comes to our child. I have my back for her 100%. But you have to respect each other. If you don't respect each other, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. So, men, I'm talking to you. Respect your baby's mother. Respect your baby because she is a woman. And that is who gave birth to your seed. no matter how much you guys might fight, no matter how much you guys not get along, that is the mother of your seed. So one way or another, you guys have to figure it out because that child is looking at you. And the first thing they're going to say when they get older, my mom and daddy always fight. They must not love me. Or the mother go back and talk crazy about this, talk about the daddy. Are you acting just like your dad? Acting just like your daddy. And that's the main thing that black men, and I have to say that, I'm black men have to go through. You act just like your daddy. And see, that's one thing that is a big turnoff that you can't do to your children. Because if you put a complex on your son, say, you know what? I don't like that dude. That's my daddy. That's how you act. You don't want to be around me. You don't love me. All that type of stuff. And see, that's not cool. You don't even know the whole, at that age, you don't even know what the whole circumstances was. But yet, you want to blackball him and say all kinds of crazy stuff to him, and that's just not right. You can't do stuff like that. You have to be the type of person to show, be able to be bigger and better to the situation. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, you please have to do what you need to do to get everything. I'll take my people here now. I'm going to see if I can get them in, guys. I'm sorry I kept on ranting on. I talked for 15 minutes, and they only got 15 minutes to talk. Let me get them in here. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can get them in. But most likely, guys, please be a parent to your children. That's the main thing, is to be a parent to your children. Because right now, that is the main thing that you have to understand, is your children is what's going to be able to carry you on to the next generation. You need your child. You need your son, your daughter. You need them. And for you to turn your back on your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance, it's not right. It's not right. I don't care how mad he might make you. That's still your baby daddy. As we say, that's still your baby daddy. That's your baby mama. That's still them. You have to show some type of respect to them because they give you a seed. And as long as you disrespect each other, that child is going to never grow up to be right. You got to keep your kids right. You got to keep them right because this country, this world is too short. Things are going too crazy right now. You see too many kids getting killed, too many adults getting killed over stupid stuff. We have to love each other, guys. Love each other. That's the main thing I'm trying to say is love each other. I'm trying to get, hopefully I can get these people in. I hope they can hear me. The ID number for you to get in is 1327487. Just come on in. You should be able to get all in. I can push the button and get you in if you come in. I don't know what button to push on my very first time doing a Block Talk Radio, bringing somebody in. But, guys, I'm telling you right now, there's things that we need to understand as an individual, as a group, as a family. That's the main thing, family. And that's what people need to understand, that family is the reason why there is so much destruction in this world, because we don't have family no more. There's too many people, big brothers and sisters arguing. Sisters arguing with each other over stupid stuff. Or you have a family outside of your mama. My baby mother has, I'm only one child with my wife, one child. Now, what if I go out and have sex and have babies with somebody else? Those are going to be sisters, brothers and sisters, but they need to get along. You can't bicker with each other. You guys are family. No matter who the daddy is and no matter who the mama is, you guys are brother and sister. And you guys have to respect that. And the first thing it is, you ain't my sister. We ain't got the same mama. It doesn't matter. You got the same blood. Same blood. That's your sister. That's your brother. Treat each other like family because life is too short. Like this man right now is in prison. He didn't even have a chance. To start a family. So like I said before, that generation is going to die with that young man because he cannot bring another family member in because he's still in prison. He's been in prison since age 16, 17. So he can't even have a child. He can have a child, but he's 32 years old. He has to start all over. He has to relearn society. He doesn't know anything about some of the stuff that's going on now. Technology has changed. Oh, my God, technology has changed. Even for a little short time I was in there, technology had changed, and I couldn't And it was strange for me when a lot of stuff happened. For I was only in there for 2 years, and things were strange. Can you imagine what it was like for him to come out as going in at 16, 17, and now he's 32? Do you know how much stuff has changed since then? He doesn't. He probably doesn't even remember, don't even know nothing about 9/11. You know, come on now. He doesn't even know half the stuff that didn't happen in this world. He probably doesn't even know we had. He probably knows we had a black president, but he doesn't even know nothing else about it. Just keep it real. These people, these kids are coming out now. They don't know what happened to being in prison that long. And then you're gonna put them back out in this world, and he didn't even have a chance even to bring a family into this world. His grandparents might not even be around anymore. The only person he might have is his mother and his father, and that's it. You know, what if his siblings are gone? You know, what if it's just him and his mother and his father, and that's it? Not saying that's all that you need. You know, but you want to have you need other family, you need everybody else in your puzzle to put you back together. Because it's going to take so much time to bring him back to where he was at and where he should be at this time. You know, he has to go out and get a job. Jobs have changed. Hell, he's not working for the prison no more for 7 cents an hour. He's not getting that. And, yeah, so think about it. Even if he didn't do it, how's he going to explain that to a place for a job when there's that big gap in employment? Well, I was in prison this time, but you know, I found not guilty. You know, they let me out. But there's still time that you got to find accountable for. How are you going to explain that to them? You can't. You can't explain them to that. You can't explain that to them. Because some people will say, you know, okay, you sound not guilty. But, you know, they still figure out, oh, hell, he was in prison anyway. So well, that many years, he had to know he had to do something. You got to think of it like that, guys. This man's getting out of prison. Fine. Okay, beautiful. Get him. He's out. Thank God. So here's the problem. Now we got to get him back to work. We got to get him back up to date. Got to get him educated. Not saying he didn't probably go to school in there, but he has to get a trade. He's got to do something. He's got to go to school and go to college and get everything he can get if he didn't go to college while he was in there. But he has to better himself even better now, even though he's not a convicted felon anymore, but he still has that stigmatism on him to know that he went to prison. And people will look at him like that. Even though he's not guilty, they're still going to look at him like he is guilty. And that's what people need to understand. When you do something like that, it comes back and haunts you in the long run. Even if you didn't do nothing, it still comes back to haunt you. And I hate to say that for that young man. He's got a long battle ahead to do with stuff. It's a simple fact that people don't understand. Hold on, guys. I'm trying to get the people patched in. It's going to take a little bit of time here, but I only got so many minutes. Hold on, guys. Let me get this up for you. Hold on, guys. Please stay with me. Hey, this has a corner on my shell right now. Hold on. Please hold on. Hold on. I'll keep on talking. All right, hold on. She's about to bring them in right now on the computer, so hold on, guys. I'll keep on talking. I'm sorry. That's a very, very unprofessional. That's something that's not going to happen here. Trust me. But I want you guys to understand there's things that we need to do as family. And I preach that all the time. Family is something that's very, very important for a person who's been inside them walls. People inside them walls need their loved ones, their mothers, their fathers, anybody who's there who understands them, especially a mother. Mothers love you unconditionally. They love you unconditionally. No matter what you've done, your mother going to be right there by your side. My mother was right there by my side, and I was wronger than two left shoes. She stood by my side. She walked with me all the way through everything I did. She put money on my books. She accepted my phone calls. My mother was working by her. She was by herself and trying to do everything she can. Still put money on my books. Her and my grandmother.
Did you find your face?
No, you still got time. Welcome. I'm so sorry. For some reason why I couldn't get you into my phone. I apologize. We still got 15 minutes, about 10, 15 minutes to talk. So come on and do it. You got it. You got the floor.
Hey, Steven.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How are you?
Thanks for having us on.
I'm doing
good.
All right.
Wanted to talk about this school to prison pipeline, and my partner's on here on three-way.
Okay, what's going on?
He had to hang up. I'm going to connect him. Hold on, I've got to reconnect him.
Okay, take your time. I'll keep on talking. We got.
Hey.
Hey,
okay,
what's going on, man?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you for coming in. Please be careful, sir. Please be careful. So go ahead.
Yeah, he disappears.
Yeah, he's in the pipeline.
So if he disappears, that's why. I'm a former teacher and special educator, but I don't want to take up a lot of the time because I think it's more important to hear from him being a part of the pipeline.
Right.
But I'll just say briefly that as a former teacher, what I saw constantly was teachers and administrators saying, don't waste your time, you know they're headed for prison. I'm talking kids that were 14, 15 years old that didn't have role models. And unfortunately, what you said about a mother is so true, but unfortunately their mothers didn't always care. They didn't care if they ate, much less if they ended up in prison. So that was the battle I fought on a daily basis as a former special educator. And my sister is a school counselor, and she sees it as young as kindergarten and first grade. That they and my partner's going to tell you he felt this, that they get a steering wheel put on their back and they're steered a certain way, maybe because of generational things that have gone on in their family before them, maybe some decisions they've made that haven't been so good. But they're kids, and people seem to forget that.
I'm going to let him talk a little bit. All right.
And kind of tell you what his experience has been.
We got like eight minutes.
Well, leaning toward that topic right there about the children, you know, I'm thinking about the children. When we small and we getting ready to go to school, our environment that we came from was important. That we had somebody motivating us. Nine times ten, a mother or aunt or grandmother, it may have been a father or whatever. But once we get to school, the problems that we had at home become problems in school, and the teachers have a burden of trying to figure out these extra things and educate us at the same time. And the ones who are normally led to prison are the ones who end up dropping out of school early because they don't have sports or have anybody to motivate them. Have a hobby or have an interest in prison, whether or not they economically can't afford the dress code or the lunch line, or they come from a bad area or whatever the case may be. It seems like we get steered in. It seems like we must implant a mentoring system, like from the beginning. You know, if you're a teacher or a counselor, it should be mandatory that you every student is accountable for. You know, you have to have 10 people that you mentor, so be it, you know what I'm saying? But every student who comes to school must have a mentor basically their entire life, you know, in certain cases, you know. And I just wanted to share that part right there for the day, you know, and let you close out.
I agree with you, man. That's 100%, man. That's something that you're right. That's something that we all need to have, especially inside the walls. There has to be somebody that had mentors, especially for the young ones that are going in there. Somebody who's older in there that can actually teach them the ropes of what not to do, because that's what they're missing, especially for the young ones that's going inside there. And like I was just telling the story about the young man that's going in there, is in there right now, that went in when he was 17, and he's 30-something now. That's just crazy. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Hell, I made my mistakes. You know, like I said, I made mistakes. I was a CO, then I ended up being an inmate, so I know. I know what goes on behind the walls. I know the crazy stuff that goes on. I know the crazy stuff the COs do to the inmates, and I know I've been some of those games too, so I know. I'm not saying I was the best CEO in the world, because damn it, I wasn't. But I know that I've done my dirt, and I actually do appreciate you coming on here, because this pipeline has to be stopped somewhere, because the way these kids are going in, it has to stop, because there's not our youth are leaving, and they're leaving from leaps and bounds. Yeah. You go inside the system, there's what the hell? They can't work. We need these. Like I told people, these are the next generation that's going to be taking care of me when I get old. Hell, there's not going to be nobody left. They're going to be in the system,
right?
Or 6 feet under.
Right.
Stuff has to change somewhere. And it has to be people like us to go out there and help these kids, because you know darn well nobody, little Tom's going to be a counselor. Tom's going to be a try to be a mentor. He can't make, be a mentor to nobody who's been in the system. How does he know? He's never been inside. He don't know nothing about that. I'm not going to listen to him. He don't know nothing about what I do. He can't relate to me. And that's what they look at. These kids need somebody who they can relate to. Man, you have your story right. Your story, what I've heard so far, and we're going to come back and do another episode of this. This has to go on for another time so you can have more time. You need that. But your word has to be out there more, man, because you have a story that everybody needs to hear, because these young kids need somebody who they can look up to. You know, just because we are done our dirt, and trust me, we've done our dirt, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can be mentors. People can look at us. We can lead the next generation because we know. We know what games the system plays. We know the system's not our friend.
Correct.
We know that. They're not our friend. And that's if we can teach these kids that, look, this is the way to do it, and this is the way to do it right. We don't have to be the type of do dirt and then don't get caught. Let's do the right thing. Let's be a teacher. Let's be a counselor. Let's be a lawyer. Let's be something. You don't have to be a pro football player or pro basketball player. Let's be something that's better than that. Something that we can say, hey, look, I can say, hey, man, I remember when I was helping you get through the system, man. I remember you. Now you're doing what I used to do. You're going to get the next little one in. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need. We need somebody, people like that, that's going to be able to say, hey, look, I'm going to hold your hand, grab the other one's hand, let's pull each other through this pipeline. By hands, we can pull each other through. But the simple fact is, the system is trying to block everybody, and I hate it. I hate it with a passion because I see these kids just fall off by the wayside. It's just disrespectful. I feel bad because I could have been a lot better than I was when I was a CEO, but I wasn't because I was thinking more of myself. And that's the fact that I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to make people understand that, hey, we all make mistakes, but you know what? Just because you make mistakes, you can fix it, and you can turn it around to be better for everybody else. So, man, I really, really appreciate
that's
you coming
deep.
On, man. I really do.
He may have
all right,
had to
guys.
Leave.
Yeah, I get it. We got like 3 minutes left, and so that's going to cut
off. You know,
off,
one of the things I want to stress as a former educator is that don't go into education if you don't genuinely want to make a positive impact on a child's life.
That's right.
There are so many
exactly.
other career fields that are so much easier, don't have the amount of paperwork. Summers are not off for teachers like people think. You know, we, as a former educator, I spent my summers going to get credits to keep my license and my certificate going, and I went to school because I was working on my PhD. I coached cheerleaders, so I had to work all summer with my cheerleading teams. It's not what people think. So, you know, you can get a job doing something else. Please don't go into education unless you want to make a positive impact on a child's life. You may be the only person that child can look back and remember, hey, she or he cared about me. And you may
be
the only reason that child actually makes it and stays alive. So if you're going to do it, get involved in those children's lives. You don't know what they went to bed, or if they went to bed the night before, you don't know what happened. And we're the one chance that they may have to stay out
That's
of this
right.
pipeline. But whatever
That's
you do,
right.
don't put a steering wheel on their back. And you do need to have
Thank
him back
you.
On because he talks about the steering wheel that was put on his back. You know, he
I
went at 18 for a crime he didn't commit.
A lot of these kids are getting sentenced because they're scared. Like I said, they get scared when they go in front of that detective, and they talk about you plead guilty to this, and you'll be able to go home.
Right.
And then you plead guilty because you've been in there for hours. You've been there for all day. You're scared, and so you say, "Yes,
right.
I did it." And you know you didn't do it, so you think, "I'm ready to go home," and you never go home. And see, that's what people don't seem to understand.
Right.
That's what happens. And these kids are taking deals because they're scared because they don't have their parents in there with them or a mentor in there that can help them walk through this. That's
exactly
right. But we got like about we only got about 50. No, no, no. We got oh no, we got about a minute left. So we will redo this. And I will
you know,
back
I wanted to throw some statistics out just really quickly on Alabama. We spend an average of $9,100 on a student and about $15,000 on an inmate. And one out of four children in Alabama live in poverty, and about 6,000 children in Alabama are in foster care. Now, if those statistics don't scare people, I don't know what it's going to take.
That's true. We got
because
to, yeah,
we're spending more to incarcerate our citizens than we are to educate them.
That's right. All right. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, next week. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.